So the Tomorrowland Speedway.
The Tomorrowland Speedway.
If you've got a little kid, you should go on it.
Oh, yeah. No.
If you don't have a little kid, you should not ever even go near it.
You know, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it would be so bad if you didn't have a little kid. But at the end of the day, you're riding around on a go-kart and
on a track.
Yeah. Well, okay. So here's what's so cool about the Tomorrowland Speedway. And I say so cool as a, like, I remember wanting to go to the Tomorrowland Speedway when I was a kid, you know, as in, I don't know, 10, 11, whatever. And it was so awesome to me because they had these cars that you could drive and they actually worked. You know, it wasn't like it was just a ride where everything pulled you along. Mm-hmm. You actually got to control it. You got to steer and everything. And sure, there was this big metal rail down the middle that kept you from going too far off, but you had some control to a gas-powered vehicle, which was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now that I can actually take a gas-powered vehicle wherever I want to, that's quite a bit more limiting now than what it used to be. And I feel like the biggest issue with Tomorrowland Speedway is the length of the line, really.
Yeah.
Because that's because that's something that kids really, really want to do. So most parents with children are going to go to Tomorrowland Speedway, which is then going to make Tomorrowland Speedway have a really long line.
Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah, it does. I didn't ever go on it, but it always had like a 45-minute wait.
Yeah. And if you do go on it, you're pretty much driving a go-kart around. So, yeah.
Real slow one.
Yeah, exactly. And,
literally, when you push on the gas, it sounds like a lawnmower.
Actually, that was a very, very good, impersonation of a Tomorrowland Speedway racer. Though I, 7 miles per hour, folks. And what I don't like as much now is I feel like before they used to tell you, don't bump, and you would get in a lot of trouble if you bumped. I think at some point they actually adjusted the car so they know when they're too close to one another and they'll slow down themselves.
Like the monorails do?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the monorails will stop themselves before they run into each other.
Right. Yeah.
Obviously that's more life or death, but.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, so the same basic sort of technology. Now I'm looking on the site and it doesn't say anything about that. So maybe I dreamed that up, but I sure feel like that's was something that they added. Which means that if you get stuck behind somebody who's just being very timid about it, which believe it or not, little kids can be very timid. This is still pretty freaky to them. It's going to make your experience much less fun because you're going to be constantly stop, start. And even though you're only going 7 miles per hour, top speed downhill, probably where they measured that, it's still pretty herky jerky if you're having to do that stop, start stuff. So,
yeah. They had a ride at Astro World called Antique Taxis, and it was pretty much the same thing. Yeah, like an old 1920s style taxi, and you got to drive around, and your mom got to ride in the passenger seat. But
see, those don't look nearly as cool as the Tomorrowland Racers do.
Yeah, totally. I'll give you that one.
Yeah. So that is the Tomorrowland Speedway.
So we've saved the best for last.
We have. What did we save?
Space Mountain.
Yes, the ride's so good that Jeremy apparently feels like it needs its own theme music.
Guitar.
Space Mountain. No, I joke. Space Mountain is an awesome attraction.
It is. It's definitely the best part of Tomorrowland.
Yeah, and one of the things that I like about Space Mountain, before we even talk about the ride itself, is I think it's got a really, really fun queue.
It does, yeah. And it's got a really, really fun design. Like, just looking at it from outside.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about the ride building, like, before you even enter.
Yes.
It's very cool. Yes.
Yeah. Did you ever get to see it when it was copper?
I don't believe so. I think every time I've been, it's been painted white.
Dude, I want them to paint it back to that, like, green and copper color so bad. And it is so cool. It's so, like, it's so 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and, like, just Jules Verne and, like, Oh man, it's so cool.
Right, which is, you know, it's funny because the Disneyland Paris version of Space Mountain is very much more, this one, it kind of roundabout harkens back to that Jules Verne feel, I guess. Mm-hmm. Whereas that one, I feel like much more directly shows that off, you know, yeah. And that's because it's got what, like the big, you know, basically we're going to shoot you out of a gun to the moon thing going on with it. And so they, you know, they took that a very different way, but yeah, it's still, again, we're talking about that hopeful future. Who knows what the future is going to be like, space feel to it.
Mm-hmm. The whole thing's in the dark. It's so cool. It's, and especially reading about like the reason Walt wanted it and like having the kind of space feel, and he wanted just like Disneyland, you know, kind of makes you not feel like you're in Anaheim, California. He wanted people to feel like they were in space. And especially with the Disneyland version of Space Mountain, you do.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's, you can, like, it's,
you can
just
very quickly lose yourself. And that's what a good, that's what makes Disney attractions good. That's what makes them different than, you know, a ride at some other park.
Right.
That's what makes them an attraction, is that you can actually lose yourself in them. And this one does that very well, even though at its core, it is simply a dark coaster.
Right. Yeah. So the queue has a whole bunch of little games you can play.
I think was an awesome improvement, because those screens have been there forever, but they used to be like little 3D, or they were 3D, but using, I think, like mirrors and stuff to make it, you know, like 3D planets and stuff, but there was nothing that you could do. And now you can actually play games while you're in the queue.
Right. Genius.
Yes.
Because that's another attraction that garners a pretty long wait most of the time.
Yes, definitely. And if you've got to wait in that line, it can feel very long, though. I do like that the queue is indoors and it's nice and dark in there and everything, because they're setting the scene before you actually even get up there.
Yeah. Disneyland's Space Mountain queue is mostly outside.
Yes,
which is fine for Anaheim, because the weather's always nice, but
yeah, not always the case, not often the case with Orlando, especially once you get into the summer months and things. You're really, really liking that nice indoor queue.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
But again, so the basic attraction is an indoor dark coaster. It is not a planetarium. This is not a slow ride. Which, again, I have to hit on because I had a friend who thought it was that.
Still my favorite story you've ever told.
Yes, yes. Because what makes an attraction more fun than somebody totally misunderstanding and screaming her head off for the entire attraction? I just, you can't beat that, you know? And then getting out and finding out that the reason she felt that way is because she thought it was going to be a planetarium ride. You know, these nice... And admittedly, when so much of the Magic Kingdom is dark ride, you know, so much of the Magic Kingdom dark rides are just slow dark rides.
Right.
I guess I can see where that comes from. But again, that when you feel yourself being click, 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 lifted up, I don't know. I personally feel like maybe that should clue you in. It's a coaster. But it is a coaster. It does feel very, it feels like things are very close on all sides. You know, and
yeah, it's a little scary.
Yeah, Disney has done reach tests. They do reach tests on all of their attractions to make sure that you aren't going to, you know, lose a hand or lose a head in this attraction. And I mean, I've seen pictures of NBA players riding this attraction. And I can guarantee you those guys much, much taller than myself. But still, when I'm on that attraction, I am very hesitant to put up my hands. And I also almost want to like shrink down in my seat as much as I can a lot of the time.
Because even though it's in the dark, when something comes by you, either above you or to the right, you can only see it when it's like literally 2 feet away from you.
Yes.
And it's
a big metal beam that suddenly comes up at you.
Yeah. So, yeah, but then you can go on YouTube and watch ride-throughs with the lights on. And there's like There's literally no way, you know, you can see with the lights on that there's totally a lot of clearance.
Yeah, you know, you can see that definitely. But I still know cast members who worked that attraction, rode it in the light, and then swore they would never go on that attraction after they rode it where they could see where everything was. And again, it's not that close, but apparently it's an even more harrowing ride from that aspect of things when you can actually see everything coming at you, which I agree. I feel like it should be exactly the opposite, but again, that's not what I got told by people who actually worked it.
That's funny.
So, yeah. But again, I have no stories to tell of anyone losing anything that was attached to their body on Space Mountain. So you should feel comfortable riding it. And it's a fun attraction.
It is. I know I've beat this horse to death, but the Disneyland one's better.
Yes, yes, we know. The Disneyland one is better. And the Tokyo one is arguably even better than that.
Is it? So, okay.
Yeah, the Tokyo one is awesome. Just the queue, the whole nine yards is amazingly well done. But, you know, we're talking about Walt Disney World, so we'll say that the Walt Disney World one is definitely good in its own right. And then you get the exit where you get to ride on the little moving walkway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fun. A la Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, which is very nice when it goes down and then has to go all the way back up.
Mm-hmm.
Though, you know what? That exit is very weird now to me. So you remember Disney had the contract with FedEx.
Mm-hmm.
And so that whole thing, you've got these different scenes playing by. Very, very well done. Involved scenes involving these aliens that are, and when it was FedEx, it was all about them shipping packages throughout the galaxy as though FedEx is this galactic shipper now, again, falling into this Tomorrowland thought of the future with all these alien shipping stuff places. And now that FedEx isn't there, it feels, I don't know, it feels weird. Because they didn't get rid of the aliens holding boxes and things like that. There's just no FedEx labels anywhere, which to me means it totally loses any context for why it is there and what it is doing.
Yeah.
And I'll admit that's the last time I went, you know, they change things all the time. But yeah, it felt very unnerving to me for some reason because it felt very incomplete.
You don't like the thought of aliens moving?
I have no problem with aliens moving. I just, I feel like if I had not already been through that exit queue or that, you know, that exit area, when it was still FedEx, I would look at it and be like, what the heck is going on here? What kind of acid dream was Disney having when they decided to put this here? Because it makes no sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess what I need to do is I need to go through that with someone who has not done it when it was all FedEx and doesn't know. And maybe they'll go, oh yeah, it totally makes sense. It's another throwaway thing from Disney to give us something to look at as we exit or something. I don't know, but yeah, it's a little bit weird, but I think it's still kind of cool to see it. And to recognize that they even took the time to theme out the exit,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not just the entrance.
Yeah. But yep, I'll definitely be going on Space Mountain again. So that's definitely a go.
Oh yeah, must do. And you know what? I feel like this, and I don't think we've covered this yet, but Space Mountain is a great place to cover this because I'm pretty sure Space Mountain offers rider switch, which if you have kids and you would want to double check this with the cast member at the entrance, but there are many attractions at Disney that offer rider switch. And basically what this means is, so say you've got, you know, your 6-year-old, your 7-year, whatever age your child may be, and you want to go ride all of these really cool attractions that you know that they either A, can't ride because they're too short, or B, simply would not want to ride. You can actually go ride these attractions while somebody stays with the child, mm-hmm. or whoever it is that doesn't want to ride. And then once they exit, they can give you a rider switch pass, which then allows you to bypass the queue and go ride that ride.
Mm.
So
that's,
you know, and
that's really cool.
Yeah, it's a really nice thing that Disney does to say, okay, you know, we recognize you're going to want to ride some things that maybe your kids don't want to ride, or you know, I don't know, maybe even, you know, you're with, there with your grandparents and your grandparents don't want to ride this attraction, whatever the case may be. Expectant mother maybe shouldn't be riding this attraction. And you can use that rider switch to get around that. You know, again, I'm not sure about Space Mountain. I know a lot of the other attractions do offer it though, so I wouldn't be surprised if it's offered there. Just check with the cast member, or even check with guest services as you enter the parks, and they should have a full list mm-hmm. of everywhere that you can do that. Which it seems like a weird place to tack that on, but I realized yesterday that we hadn't said anything about that. And I know from talking with people that have kids that that's a huge help to them and really, you know, enhances their Disney experience because they aren't stuck simply going on the attractions that their kids want to go on. They can actually do some things that they'd like to do as well.
Right.
And they don't have to feel bad. You know, it's not one of these situations where, well, I guess I'm going to go ride this and sorry, you get stuck with the kid for this one.
Yeah.
Sort of situation.
Yeah.
So I think we've covered all the attractions, but we have not covered all of Tomorrowland yet.
Dining.
That's right. And we cannot skip dining in Tomorrowland.
No, because Cosmic Rays is in Tomorrowland and it's the best.
I will agree with that. Counter service, either that or Pecos are the best.
Nope, Cosmic Rays is better.
I was about to say, and I'd actually be tempted to say, Tom, here's the thing.
Space-themed.
Yeah, and you've got the little audio animatronic out there playing the piano and everything, mm-hmm. which is, I think is just hilarious. If I was over on the side of the park that had Frontierland around lunchtime, I'm probably just going to stop at Pecos Bill. But if I'm at all close to Cosmic Rays, I'm going to Cosmic Rays for lunch. There's no doubt about that.
Yep.
Because not only do you have space theme, but you also have, again, the Fixins bar with all mm-hmm. the hot Fixins.
So good. Congratulations,
Disney. That's all you have to do to get me to show up at one restaurant over another is offer me some free mushrooms, onions, and cheese sauce.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
It really is so worth it.
Oh,
it
yeah.
sounds there's... dumb to be like talking about grilled onions like they're the best thing in the world, but... Oh my gosh, they're the best thing in the world.
See, I'm more about the grilled mushrooms than even the onions, but yes, the onions as well. And then I don't know. I feel like I'm getting away with something at Disney when I can put free cheese sauce on my French fries and get cheese fries without being charged an extra $3.50, you know, whatever they would probably charge for that if they could. In fact, I keep waiting for the day when, you know, that suddenly becomes like a premium thing, you know, like you have to pay an extra $2 to access the Fixins bar.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't done it yet. So, hey, take them up on that. What is kind of weird about that place is you don't get the full menu at every line.
Yeah, they have three different bays. One of them's burgers, one of them's chicken, and one of them is something else.
Yeah, I don't remember what it is, but yeah, so you do have to pay attention to where you're lining up based on what you would like to eat.
Barbecue pork sandwiches.
Okay. And I feel like that could be kind of annoying if you were a parent. You know,
yeah.
And your kid's like, I want chicken nuggets and you want a burger. That's two different bays.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if there's some way of working around that. If there is, I haven't heard about it. But again, I've never been in a situation where I've needed to work around that. But it is something you should be aware of if you're lining up, try to line up where they have the food that you actually want, so you don't get frustrated when you get up to the front.
Yeah.
But yes, Cosmic Rays is definitely the place to go and eat lunch if you're in Tomorrowland.
And then have you ever eaten at the Lunching Pad? I've never eaten at any other place in Tomorrowland.
I haven't ever eaten at the Lunching Pad. I've grabbed a drink at the Lunching Pad because, you know, it's a convenient little spot. It's right there under under the TTA. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so... It's a really nice place if you're out and about to just grab a quick drink. You know, I know they've got like hot dogs and pretzels, but you know, I think it's that kind of a feel to it rather than anything substantial. And then the same with the Cool Ship is, you know, definitely all about drinks. In fact, I don't even know if they serve any food at that place. I think it might. Yeah. Okay. So I'm looking at their website and it says they offer a pretzel. So basically it's a place to stop and get a drink. If you need
but it's
to get
a cool
drink.
Pretzel.
That's right. Well, don't they have like a little spray area or something, or like a little misting area right there next to it. So you can actually cool off there if it's nice and toasty. And then Anti-Gravity's, I've been through. I've never been in, but it's all about, you know, ice cream, things like that over there.
Mm.
So.
And then you have the Tomorrowland Terrace, which is actually, another quick service.
Yeah, and it's actually really good food. But again, it's really hard to tell you to go anywhere else when Cosmic Rays is right there. You know, I feel like I should probably... I don't know. For some really weird reason, I feel like I have some obligation to say, oh, yeah, you should definitely go eat there, because that's actually where, when my sister was doing her internship, she worked at Tomorrowland Terrace.
Huh.
But actually, it had like, it was all like noodle bowls and things like that when she was working there. And now it's like lobster rolls and pasta and things like that. So clearly they've changed up the menu. And then they've also got the dessert party that happens there at night.
Yeah, the fireworks party.
Yes, which I have not done the dessert party. I've heard nothing but amazing things about the dessert party. But what I will tell you is I have seen the fireworks, because when I went and did my internship with Disney, before you can start working for Disney, they put you through what they call traditions, which is basically, I think it might have even been a multi-day class where they teach you all about the Disney traditions. Because they don't just want you going out there and not knowing what's going on. What do we require of you? This is why we require this of you, sort of thing. And I remember it was after my first day of traditions, and there were like three other cast members that, you know, that I've been paired with. And after we got done, we decided we were all going to go to the Magic Kingdom. And so we went to the Magic Kingdom and we grabbed some dessert, I think, or maybe just some drinks from the Tomorrowland Terrace restaurant. This was before they started closing this off for a private viewing area. And we just camped out at the table for like an hour and a half just so we could see the fireworks from right there. And that is such an, it does not surprise me at all that Disney figured out a way to make people pay to sit there, because that is such an awesome place to watch the fireworks from, because, you know, you just get to sit at the table, relax, and just watch everything go on right in front of you. So, that was something we were going to sign up for last time. I forget exactly what happened. We were unable to do so. Definitely something that's on my list of things I want to do the next time I'm there, is to do that dessert party, because that is such a great place to watch that show. And again, you know, you're talking about my favorite fireworks in the parks. You know, I know you have your, fantastic.
I didn't make a face.
I know. I didn't say you did, but I recognize that we don't agree on the way that we put down the fireworks shows, or the way that we list them out, 1, 2, 3, but this is my favorite show, and that is a great place to watch it from. So if you're looking to, you know, if you got the coin to drop, I feel like that's probably actually a good investment, is to go and do that there.
I would agree, and I think I'm going to take you up on that and do that when we're there.
I think you guys definitely need to. I think your wife and your mother would both thank you.
Yeah.
For getting to see that there. And again, you can't underestimate the advantage of not having to go stand in the hub,
right? You know,
that little central area for like 2 hours to wait and watch. And you know, one thing I don't know about the dessert parties, I'm not sure how that works, because typically with the fireworks, you have the parade going on about an hour before the fireworks. So it'd be interesting to know exactly how early that dessert party starts, because I think that would probably be a pretty decent area to watch the parade from as well. You'd definitely be very far away from, or not very far, but you'd definitely be away from it. But you could probably see most of what was going on of the parade from there as well. So.
Well, cool. And I think that wraps up Tomorrowland, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think we've actually gone through all of the parks, which are all of the lands within the park and all of the parks.
Right.
And it only took us like 3.5-4 months to do so.
Yeah.
So go Woo-hoo. Us. But now we will have one more show covering the Magic Kingdom, because we have not covered the parades and not covered the fireworks. And believe it or not, I think we will have no issue spending another 30 minutes just talking about those.
And we'll finally reveal our 3 Fast Pass picks for the Magic Kingdom.